It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Boom, here we are, Money for Lunch. Good to have you guys here. Money for Lunch. Where all the biggest leaders come to share their time and energy with you, really get some nuggets of information, right? Some fat-free nuggets of wisdom, right? All right, so good stuff happening. Interesting thought on something I read. This is at investorsdailybusiness.com, investors.com. Investors.com, also known as Investors Business Daily. So California's Carl's Jr. says, so long to California. They're moving out of California, it looks like. So here's the deal. Let's see. Right now, California has the highest income tax rate at 13%. And a lot of places, a lot of people have left California because of that one reason. It's you know, think about it like this. If you're making 100 grand a year, 13% of that belongs to California instantaneously. And then, of course, you have all your federal taxes. So you could be, you know, somewhere, you know, 40% of your money could be gone almost immediately. Yes, you have deductions. So maybe instead of being 40%, you're still going to be taxed at 20 or 25%. That's a huge amount of money. For California, you know, it's hard to live on $100,000 a year in California. Now, if you're a corporation, you're making $1 million a year, same scenario, different numbers. But again, it makes sense to get out of California. Here's the problem. It doesn't matter whether they charge 10%, 13%, 50%. They misuse their money. Managing California, managing these corporate municipalities has to be changed. California, like our federal government, they don't want to make the tough cuts that they have to make. They cannot tax their citizens. And I live in Arizona, and we have, a 9% state tax. You cannot tax your citizens to make your government healthy. It doesn't work, folks. We've seen it time and time again. Government has to become better managers. That's really what the deal is, isn't it? They can tax us to death, and they still won't be able to meet their budgets. They have to cut back. And we, as citizens, have to deal with the fact that they have to cut back. Now, the essential stuff, fire, police, emergency vehicles, we need that stuff. What can we do without? And that's where it becomes tough. Because what you need and what I need are so vastly different. But anyway, so Carl's Jr. moving to Tennessee because of taxational purposes. And then Burger King, I didn't know this, Burger King relocated its headquarters completely out of the U.S. in favor of Canada, where the business tax rate is about half of the American. So think about that. And I think it only makes sense. You may say, hey, that's un-American. Well, it's totally American. You know, that's the way, you know, that's the way America was founded. We started protesting and we decided to get out of places, right? And then when this was an original British colony, you know, we had enough of that. We went to war over taxation. Taxation without representation was bad. Hey, taxation with representation, not much better. But in this case, we have businesses that are departing for friendlier shores. We see Google, they keep a lot of their money offshore. They're not going to bring it in and get taxed. Check this out. This will blow you away. California has lost roughly 9,000 companies in the last 10 years, most of them moving to places like Texas, Florida, and Tennessee. Last year, Toyota moved its North American headquarters from the Golden State to North Texas. I mean, so you're taxing people to death. You're misusing the money that you have. And then on top of that, you're losing the jobs that go with it. California is in a drought, both financially and when it comes to water. Their thinking is in a drought. Chasing away business is not going to help California, and that's what they're doing. 9,000 companies, that's 1,000 companies roughly a year that move out of California. What are you going to do? You're going to raise your taxes again to make up the difference? Because with 9,000 companies, that's probably got to be, half a million to a million workers that have moved out of California to go with those companies to keep their jobs. So this is a great lesson in business. And I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see what California is going to do about it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. My friend Grant Cardone, New York Times bestselling author, sales trainer, he moved out of California for the same reason, taxation. So I think that there's a lot to be said for, you know, for how you handle your taxes. I think, you know, and I don't want to make it sound like it's easy, because it's not. You know, municipalities have to make their money through taxation. But again, it's not the taxes that the problem, it's the way they are managed. And we've seen time and time again that it doesn't matter how much a municipality makes, it's how badly they mismanage their money. You cannot tell me that these guys can't do a better job. Of course they can. They're unwilling to do it. They're unwilling to make the tough decisions. And I mean that. They are tough. Whatever decision you make is probably going to affect somebody's future. But at, you know, when you have 9,000 companies, 1,000 companies leaving a year, you're already affecting somebody's future. You're already hurting them financially. You're already making an impact on their children's lives. All right, that's my rant. That's my thoughts on this whole thing. But it's a great lesson. Check it out at Investors Daily, investors.com. You can see the whole story about California driving people away, driving their businesses away. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll
Welcome
be back.
Back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Alrighty, folks, here we're back. We're going to get started. Get this place a-rockin' with my next guest. My first guest today, L.K. Elliott, is a spiritual fitness guru turned self-help author of Confessions of an Ex-Hot Mess. She believes that life is to be enjoyed and is passionate about sharing her message of personal growth and triumph over negativity and depression. For more inspiration, be sure to connect with LK at lkelliott.com. You can find her on Instagram, lk.elliott, and on Twitter, lkelliott_. LK Elliott, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you so much for having me, Bert.
I'm excited to have you here. This is going to be fun. All right, Confessions of an Ex-Hot Mess. Talk about this. What was the inspiration behind this self-help book?
The inspiration was pretty simple. It was my life as a hot mess. Anyone who knew me, 5 years ago could definitely attest to that. And I reached a point in my life where I hit rock bottom, and it was time to add the X into the X hot mess. So the book is just about my personal transformation from being a hot mess to an X hot mess and how you can apply those lessons in your own life. Because we're all hot messes in some place.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's right. And I'm glad you said that, because we are all a hot mess, and in some area of our lives we can always improve. So let me ask you this. Were you a little fearful as you're putting this book together? Because obviously this is going to be a kind of a book about you. And so were you hesitant or apprehensive at all being this real about your life?
Absolutely. And I mean, this book is very raw. I'm sharing stories and experiences of my life that I hadn't told my closest friends. So this book was a total tell-all. So, I mean, it is my confession by all stretch of the word. And prior to the book being published, I was a complete vulnerability phobe. So I did not like to be vulnerable. I didn't like to expose myself. So it was a lot of my transformation occurred after the publishing of the book, having to kind of overcome all those fears and do it anyway. But I felt at that time that it was worth sharing that message in hopes that I could help other people.
Yes, and that's really what it's about. I mean, there's no point in sharing your message if it can't help somebody else, right? I mean, first of all, you're laying it on the line. People are going to judge you, but you really want to connect with that person that says, wow, if she did all that, I can do it too.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's been an amazing response, and through the beauty of the internet, I've been able to connect with people all over the world where the story has helped them, and they said the best thing about the book was how raw and vulnerable it was. They could really relate to those stories if, we've had similar circumstances, so it's been an amazing experience.
All right, so let's talk about this, because you also have a video that I thought was kind of cool called The spiritual squat. What is a spiritual squat?
Oh, I'm sure everyone can relate. So the spiritual squat was a metaphor that I created because I'm a huge advocate for positive perception. And at the end of the day, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how positive you are, life still knocks you on your butt sometimes. So what I'm trying to share with people through the spiritual squat is every single time life knocks you down on your butt and you get back up, that's your spiritual squat. So in the gym, the best way to build your booty is doing squats. And this is growing your spiritual booty. This is giving you more wisdom. So it's just recognizing that when life knocks you on your butt and you get back up, it's serving you in some way. You're getting stronger, you're getting wiser, you're getting better at your spiritual squat. And sometimes it's acid-grass, and it's just embracing the different levels of burn that you get sometimes with those spiritual squats.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You know what? And it's interesting, too, because we as humans really try to avoid spiritual squats, right? We don't want that. But that's really some of the best times in our lives. Interestingly enough, this is what I find interesting. If, that people will avoid, quote, a spiritual squat, but they will pay for, let's say, skydiving. Or this weekend, my wife and I went to Vegas and we jumped out of the stratosphere. It's like almost 900-foot drop.
Right.
And they'll do roller coasters and they do other extreme sports because, we want to test what we're made of. We want to have a spiritual squat, but we want to have it on our terms. And so
absolutely.
When life ends one, then we kind of, oh, this is so unfair. Oh,
Yeah, exactly. I feel like everyone, well, I mean, the whole thing is people don't understand that the only way to grow stronger is through resistance. So for me, I'm a spiritual fitness guru. So I kind of work on both aspects of that, and they're so closely related. So it's like you go into the gym and you lift weights. You lift weights, and through that resistance, you tear your muscles, and they grow back stronger. So people don't necessarily make that connection that in life, when we get that resistance, it might tear us down a little bit, but then we grow back stronger.
Yes, and that's really what it's all about, is growing back stronger, is being able to overcome, and really, you know what, I had a great interview many years ago with, she's an actress, and at one point, you know, she was top of her game, I forgot her name now, doggone it, and she said that, When we go through these trials, we discover who and what we're made of.
Absolutely.
And it truly is, because, there are some people who will have the exact same experience, and some people become bitter and whiny and weak, and some people become better and stronger and wiser. Same experience,
yeah.
But they had a different mental readiness, I don't know what it was, but they had a vastly different result. And somebody said something to me that made a lot of sense, that back to your fitness analogy, right? You know, you put a bunch of weight on the bar and sometimes you don't make it. And so you have to build up. You have to sometimes do that same, lift multiple times until you get it. Well, I think that life will serve you the same spiritual squat, if you will, the same experience until you overcome it, until you're doing it better, you're doing it better both physically, mentally, and spiritually. All three of those, right? Because our attitude is everything. And so you have this experience and you can say, hey, this is a chance for me to grow, or you can have this experience and say, it's unfair, I'm the victim here, I don't deserve this, but you get no growth.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. And just like you were saying with the extreme sports, people want to, on a certain aspect, people want to get out of their comfort zone, but it has to be on their terms. And I find that success is really directly related to our willingness to struggle. And that's when, if you go into the gym and you don't want to get uncomfortable, you're never going to get out of that comfort zone. You're never going to grow into that next evolution. So yeah, it's the very same thing in life. I totally agree.
Okay. So how did you get started in this, part of your life? I mean, what made you become a spiritual fitness guru? Have you always been a personal trainer, or did you do something prior to this?
I've been an athlete pretty much my entire life. I played competitive ice hockey for the majority of my life, going all the way up to the National Men's Hockey League. And even last May, I was in Pittsburgh at the World Ball Hockey Championships. So I've always been an athlete. I've always had that ingrained in my life. But the spiritual thing came much later, and that's when I was able to add the X to hot mess, was finding that balance, because I find so many people have fitness goals, and they'll focus on their diet and their exercise, so they're focusing on the body. And my analogy for that is more like you're going down this long, windy road on a unicycle, right? So you've got one little wheel touching the ground, whereas if you're focusing on your body, mind, and spirit to get those physical results, you're like on a tricycle, so you're sturdy, and you can move around a little bit, and it makes the journey much more enjoyable, much easier to stay on track. So that was through trial and error of my own, that incorporating all three parts has really brought me success beyond my wildest dreams.
Interesting. I like that analogy too, really. Having just that one point of view, that one focus, that's great that you're – and we see this all the time, people who are physically fit, but that's all they have.
Absolutely. And I mean, doing fitness competitions, it's the exact same thing. You're so focused on one thing. And that's, I think, why people fall off the wagon so often. It's falling off the unicycle because it's wobbly and unstable.
Yes. And you're going to fall off sooner or later. It doesn't matter how good you are. Sooner or later, if that's your only thing, then sooner or later you're going to fall off. You have to have this
Absolutely.
Thing. I like your idea of having multiple wheels, right, for that stability. You have to have the physical, the spiritual, the mental, the financial. And you need that to have a really fulfilling life, too.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And that's the thing, because we all do have weaknesses. We have highs and lows. So, you know, if your finances aren't good, but you've got the mental stability and the spiritual connection, your body's doing good, you know, like it's, they all complement each other so well. So it's just the fact of, you know, if you have an imbalance in one area, but you're still maintaining awareness in the other ones, they can help each other to build them up. And then you get that well-rounded life, which the balance always brings happiness and joy into your life.
All right, so let's talk about the spiritual squad. And again, for you guys, this is a reminder, or maybe you're just joining us, a spiritual squad is what LK refers to as having a life challenge, right? You get kicked on your butt and you have to get back up. That's the little squad that you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah.
I just love that. It makes it actually kind of fun too, right? Oh, life just gave me a spiritual squad.
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing. I think that in writing Confessions of an Ex-Hot Mess, I found that there was a real lack in the self-help genre of, you know, of something that is inviting, something that's fun, something that's approachable. And, you know, like when people are coming up on a personal transformation, it can be a really heavy topic. Like there's some serious stuff going on. And I think that the whole point of this book was that people could get in there, they could read my hilarious story, and because honestly, life's a comedy, and too many people are taking life way too seriously, and it's like, yeah, there's things we need to work on. Sometimes life gets you down, but it's just when you can look at it from that perspective and be like, wow, that was a deep spiritual squat, man, that burned, but oh, man, my spiritual booty's going to be popping after that. It's just having that little twist, right, and just choosing to have fun, choosing to see the light of the situation, no matter how grim the circumstance might be, and there's always that opportunity. There's always a rainbow in the storm. It's just the fact of having that awareness and being open to it, and that's totally why I think, like, that's my mission, is just to kind of, you know, be a bit of a weirdo and try to just have a good time and show people that it doesn't have to be so serious. You can have fun, have a little self-help party. I like to say self-help is sexy because I think it is. Like, it's just, there's nothing better in your life than improving oneself, and I think that that's the whole purpose of life.
Well, you know, and I want to add this before I ask you this question. Look, I agree with you. Self-help is sexy, and we can prove it. There are people that we are attracted to that we find charming and sexy and irresistible because they have a certain confidence level. They have a certain, you know, they have a certain attitude of gratitude, if you will. They have something that makes you that makes them attractive to you. And most of the time, it's going to be confidence. Confidence, whether you're male or female, is a sexy element or characteristic to have. And we see this in a lot of people that, quote, they may not have a smoking hot body, but they have a certain amount of sex appeal because of the way they carry themselves, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, I totally agree. It's back to the whole balance thing. I mean, I've been, you know, I did a fitness competition in 2014. So I had like the six-pack abs, my glutes defied gravity. It was just like this beautiful thing to look at. But I was absolutely bankrupt with confidence because I was so focused on the body that you just sit there and you're afraid that you're going to gain weight back. And like, there's nothing sexy about that. But when somebody's comfortable with themselves, like I've seen people who traditionally aren't that good looking and I can't take my eyes off them. And it's just, you know, they have that allure. Because, you know, it's their essence. It's that when you know who you are and you're comfortable with it and you totally embrace it, when you love yourself, it's very hard that for other people not to love you. There's just that intangible
yes.
thing about you that is just so attracting.
Yes, I think you hit the nail right on the head. When you love you, that is that sex appeal, that attraction that that we all like. There's nothing
absolutely.
I think more empowering than somebody who loves themselves and accepts their flaws and all that other stuff. Let me ask you this. Okay, so here you are, you know, and I'm saying you as the example, but I'm talking about everybody in general. So you have this life experience, you've been dropped on your butt, you know, whatever. How do you get back up? If you were going to tell one of your clients how to overcome something or get back up off that, to complete their spiritual squat, any ideas or any suggestions for help people overcome whatever they're going through?
Absolutely. There's always a shifting point in every circumstance, right? So when you're on the ground and you know, life's knocked you down, it's a matter of recognizing that you have a choice. So you might be on your butt right now, but you have a choice to get up. So many people walk around in their lives and they think that life happens to them and they don't recognize the power in this moment. So you can be in one place at a time. You can be in the past, you can be in the present, you can be in the future. All the power is right now in this moment. In this moment, you can choose to be whoever you want to be. So it's not a fact of, oh, well, life knocked me on my butt, now I'm down here. No, it's life knocked me on my butt, and if I choose to, if I choose not to blame everyone around me or blame society or blame myself, if I choose to get up right now, I can. And every single moment is an opportunity to choose again. So I don't care what you did last week, yesterday, an hour ago, a minute ago, this moment right now is your moment, and you get to choose your destiny each and every moment.
Yes, I love that. You get to choose your destiny each and every moment. That is something that I want everybody to remember. You know, I read something that is kind of inspired me. And this is I read this a while back. I started doing it this year. And it was this gentleman, I can't remember his name, who was talking about he had met a Navy SEAL, and so the Navy SEAL, he hired the Navy SEAL to give him some coaching and help him mentally and physically. And so the first thing the guy says, hey, we're going to do 100 push-ups. I mean, 100 pull-ups. You know, the guy says, well, I've never even done a pull-up. I don't know if I can do 100 pull-ups. So he says, well, let's try. And so he got up there and he did 3 or 4 pull-ups. He says, great. And so the guy says, well, I guess it's going to take me a long time to get to 100 pull-ups. He says, no, we're going to get 100 pull-ups today. And he says, and so they sat there, back to what you were saying. You choose your destiny in each and every moment. So he went up there, he did another 3 or 4 pull-ups, and another 2 pull-ups, and another one. So he got to the point where he was doing 1 and 2 pull-ups at a time, but he got to 100 pull-ups.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of my favorite quotes is, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right. And I just think that is so true with that story, too.
It is. Absolutely. Look, a couple of weeks ago, I was at the Arnold Sports Festival, and I go there every year. I get to meet some wonderful people, I had a dinner with Schwarzenegger and stuff like that. And the thing I love about Schwarzenegger is the fact that, like myself, he's an immigrant. And unlike myself, he had this really funky name that people had a tough time pronouncing. He had this huge, you know, very noticeable German accent, you know. And he was told that he would never be an actor, right? I mean, that he should just forget about it. And so, but for his belief in himself and telling himself that he could do it, he should not have become an actor. I mean, he still has the accent, but yet, despite, quote, his limitations, at one point he's getting paid $30 million a movie, he's everywhere, now the Arnold Sports Festival is in 6 continents, the guy's been not only in movies, but he's been in politics, he's got a massive real estate business, all this other stuff. But it goes back to having that self-belief. Like you said, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you're right. That kind of a stuff.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, I think people will look at you and say, well, you have this phenomenal body. You know, you're this awesome, competitor. But that's what, you know, they're seeing you today. They're not seeing the hundreds of hours that got you there.
Absolutely.
And I think some of us
couldn't agree more. Yeah, people can be so impatient, and I used to be one of those people, but I find the more that you can just embrace life and just embrace everything as it is, like one of my favorite things, my favorite affirmation is just, it is what it is. And if I can just repeat that all day, every day, I'm quite happy, because it really is, like whatever it is, it is, if it's meant to be or it wouldn't be. So it's just embracing what it is, and I love that, the reference to Arnie, because he is absolutely the epitome of positive perception, and he even said that was their rules, that he couldn't be an actor, it wasn't his rules. So he never let other people's limiting beliefs limit him, which I think is so beautiful and totally explains his huge level of success.
Absolutely. And then what's really funny is here we are, you know, we fast forward to 2016, And now his accent is imitated by many people, right? Everybody knows when you start talking like, you know, like Arnold, everybody immediately knows that, right? And he's
absolutely
got so many one-liners. He's been called the Terminator, the Governator, I'll be back. You know, everybody knows these things. And you look at these iconic movies, and they would not have been the same without him. So, again, this high level of self-belief, and I love the fact that you brought up affirmations, because I think that, you know, there's a lot of people out there who think that affirmations are corny or silly, but they are unaware that as humans we use affirmations every day, but most of them are negative.
Absolutely.
Most of them, you know, most of the time we're telling ourselves we're too young, we're too old, we're too stupid, we're too fat, we're too skinny.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, and we beat ourselves up 90% of the time, and then we wonder why we're not happy or successful.
Absolutely. Every single thought that we have is an affirmation, and every single thought or affirmation either builds us up or beats us up. And I don't think people understand the magnitude of the situation, that we ourselves are the most influential person we'll talk to all day. And we have so many thoughts in a day. And so, like you said, yeah, if they're negative, it makes life really difficult. And it's, for me, my entire life transformation, when I look around at my life today, you know, I live in the same house. I have the same wonderful husband. I drive the same car. Not a lot of things externally have changed in my life, and yet everything internally has changed in my life, and thus everything in my life has changed.
Wow, I love that. We're going to end on that note. What a solid way to end. LK Elliott, thank you so much for stopping by. I'd love to bring you back and talk more about mindset and overcoming challenges, doing our spiritual squats. LK, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
All righty. Good stuff there. I love LK's, what do you call it, her insight. I love her passion, not for fitness, but for life and overcoming obstacles, because believe it or not, that's really what life is about. You got to trade up your problems. If you have crappy problems, get better ones. For example, you can have a problem, you can have a flat tire with a 10-year-old beat-up car, or you can have a flat on your Gulfstream jet. They're both flat tires. One's a better problem to have than the other. So keep that in mind. And as she said, you're the most influential person that you spend time with. So be aware of what you're saying to yourself. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.